Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey, LA friends. Doug Loves Movies has a new home at the Lab at the Improv. And it's a more intimate space than Dynasty Typewriter, but it is a comedy club and not a theater. It's in West Hollywood, and the main room could sell out, and then people would flow into my show thinking they're going to see stand-up. So just so that there's no confused audience members, it's one time only. I'm begging anybody listening, if you're in the LA area, to come tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 17th, 7:30, and I won't bother you about it again. Moving forward, it'll be on the third Tuesday of every month at the Improv Lab in West Hollywood, California. Enjoy the show.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I like movies. I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, especially scary ones this month. Recording on Sunday, October 15th, 2023, Kingsman, The Golden Circle of Friends with Benefits, A Wonderful Life, as we know it could happen to you, only live twice in a lifetime, Cop and a Half, Nelson of Rambo, First Blood Part 2, For the Road, House Sitter, Terminator 2, Judgment, Dazed and Confused, Cars, Cynic, and Old Lace in the Old School of Rock and Roll High School. I did it. My guests today are a newbie and two old bees, Padgett Brewster, Kevin Kraft, and Gabe Mollica. Hello.
Yeah!
Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name. Joining us for the first time, he's got a one-man show to tell us about. It's Gabe Mollica.
Hey, Doug. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me. This is very exciting. I'm pumped.
Tell us about your show, dude.
Yeah, it's called Solo. It's a show about friendship. It's a show about how I don't have any friends. And it's running off Broadway. And we extended a bunch at the Soho Playhouse, and we were self-producing a run at the Connolly Theater upstairs on East 4th Street. And we were just on This American Life, so I thought, oh, we'll have such an easy time selling tickets. And it's still so hard. So please come to East 4th Street and see my show. We run 7 times a week, so please come.
Yeah, I guess This American Life used to be a real, you know, booster for for publicity for things. But like, even that show has been around long enough now that people can't do everything Ira Glass tells them to do, right?
I know. I thought the Ira bump, I was like, it just made it harder in this weird way, because I like took my foot off the gas for a second. I was like, 5 million people heard this episode. It's going to be a piece of cake, and it's just so hard. But it's fun. It's my favorite thing to do.
17 of those people live in New York. So
yeah.
You just never know with these, when you go on a national podcast, I don't know how much it helps locally. And, but I hope you do get the Benson bump from doing this one.
I've been looking forward to the Benson bump, but it's on my circled on my calendar.
We'll bump it again. We'll mention the show again at the end of this episode.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Our next guest is the only person who's ever guest hosted this podcast back during that one day, one person podcast strike I was on. It's Kevin Kraft. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Doug. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me, man.
It's good to have you back. You just finished directing a movie.
I did. Yeah. We wrapped, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, there's a strike going on. How'd you get permission to do that?
Fran Drescher was cool enough to give us the old thumbs up.
You talked to Fran directly?
It was either her or someone doing an impression of her.
Oh, that's easy enough to do. All of the people that work for her probably just do her voice so she doesn't have to make so many calls.
I did see, you know, obviously I didn't speak to her directly, but I did see a thing of her saying, you know, it's very important to get waivers out to indie films to shoot during the strike, because if somebody on a shoestring budget can pay the actors what we're asking for, then that just shows the studios can as well, and they just don't want to or are being stubborn. So it was a weird time to shoot my first movie, but you know, we pulled it off. We got there, got across the finish line.
You did it. And it's called
The Second Coming of John Cooper, starring Doug Benson.
I knew I'd screwed up. I remember the John Cooper part. Well, I did come in and do a day on it, and I trusted you when you said you had a waiver, because, you know, I'm not going to be like, show me this waiver. But I trusted you. And also, I saw how much one gets paid for doing one day's work, the money that SAG-AFTRA is asking for. And it's not a lot. It is. Like, you got permission to pay me not very much, because that's what we're asking for. That's what SAG-AFTRA is asking for, is like a 2% bump in the money we were making before the strike. And you gave me that money. And I thank you for that.
It was an honor.
And, you know, I'll be especially excited if either the movie turns out great or if I end up on the cutting room floor, because I got that money. You can't get it back.
I think the odds of you staying in, Doug, are quite high.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was quite high when I did it. All right. Check this out. I did some really clever writing for this third intro.
Oh.
She put Chandler in a box, and now she thinks outside the box to solve crimes. It's Padgett Brewster.
Hello, Doug. I'm so happy to be here.
That's great. I'm happy that you're happy to be in your own home. I assume that's where you are right now.
I am.
Yeah. I feel like you are one of my frequent guests who is enjoys the staying at home part of doing the show.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
When are you going to direct a film or do a one person show like my other guests?
Oh, never either. They sound awful to me. I mean, I'm proud of both of you guys, but putting on a one person show, too much work. Directing, too many questions.
What about directing a one person show?
Ooh.
Oh, nice. It depends on the person.
Yeah, right. They have those sometimes. Gabe, did you? You did this all yourself, or did you have someone that was quote unquote the director?
I have a director. His name is Greg Wallach, and he's an LA based director. And he works with a lot of people, Moses Storm and Hasan Minhaj and lots of people.
Awesome.
I tell more of the truth.
I'm very impressed by you guys, though. That work. That's a lot of work.
Oh, thanks.
Just all of it. Directing, pre-production, get a budget, get financing, put up a one-man show, sell tickets, and you're hustling, and you still didn't get what you wanted from This American Life. It's just rough.
Oh, thanks, Padgett. That's so kind.
I'm so impressed.
No one sees me but Padgett. This feels great.
I mean, that's got to be a rough starting position for putting on a show having no friends. I'm glad you found a director and anyone to come to the show, because most people, you know, that's what they do initially with a one-person show, is they have to convince everybody they know, all their friends, to come see it. So you really start off in a hole.
I'm in a pretty big deficit. You're absolutely right.
But I think you're making three new friends today, but let's wait until the end before we're absolutely sure. Before we play some games today, I would like each of you to recommend a scary movie. And
I have one.
Padgett was on most recently, so she knew I was going to ask for a movie recommendation.
I watched The Blackening on Hulu.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen it?
I was so psyched for that movie when it came out in theaters. I thought this is going to be a massive hit. It looked so funny. And I didn't go see it in theaters. It was gone from theaters almost instantly. And I assume it's somewhere you could see now. But please tell me it's as great as I assumed it was.
It's on Hulu and it's great. It's great. It's surprising. It's hilarious. It's funny. It's thought provoking. I loved it.
Yeah, The Blackening.
It's great. I highly recommend.
That was one that started off like they made a short film, and that turned out great. And then they expanded it into a feature. Like the short film was probably the calling card to make the longer version. I didn't know it either. I just make stuff up. Kevin?
Yeah.
What have you got for us? A scary movie. John Cooper is not the Second Coming of John Cooper is not scary, right? It's a comedy.
It's a comedy mockumentary. So
yeah,
can't recommend that one yet. It's also hasn't even started editing, but there's this hidden little 80s gem that I really like called Intruder. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but
what?
I don't think I have. Tell us more.
So it's a slasher that takes place in a supermarket. And as far as I'm concerned, there aren't enough movies that take place in supermarkets. And
yeah,
it's got like Sam and Ted Raimi and like small supporting roles. And it has one of the most brutal, realistic, practical kills I've ever seen in a horror movie. Like about an hour in, every time I watch it, I have to rewind it like 15 times just because it is that gnarly. So if you like practical kills and you like supermarkets, check out Intruder.
Where does it, in the horror movies that take place in a supermarket, is it better or worse than The Mist?
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. Ooh, I mean, The Mist is the classic. I own that on Blu-ray, and I watch the black and white version only every year around this time.
I didn't know they did that, but that I could
either.
Already see that improving that movie.
Yeah, that's how Frank Darabont, I think, originally wanted that presented, and they wouldn't let him. But if you watch it in black and white, it plays out like a Twilight Zone episode, and it is so much more effective. It's very cool.
Yeah, a long Twilight Zone episode where one character is unbearable. You know, that movie was so polarizing that it took me years to see it, because everyone would either talk about, oh, that movie's great, or they'd go, oh, it's like the worst thing to sit through. And so I was just sort of like, I just don't want to even take the chance that I would find it to be the latter. But it really is just Marcia Gay Harden committing hard to her role. I don't blame the actress, but man, that is a rough character, and a, you know, just a brutal ending.
Yeah. I mean, what's a horror movie without a great villain, though? You need a hateable villain.
Right. But is she technically the villain, or just an obnoxious person that's just in the mix?
I would say as her cult grows in the supermarket, she definitely becomes the villain.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Gabe? Do you have a scary movie you could recommend?
You know, I'm more of like, I like warm things. Like I love Sondheim musicals. So I'm like, oh, scary movies. I'm like, what do I watch that's scary? And, I was like, I watched Funny Games recently, and I was like, this is tough to watch.
What
like,
is it?
Is not fun. It's like a psychological horror movie, and we watched it in a group of friends, which I guess I don't have, but a group of bros, and we just like couldn't believe how bad it was. And that's kind of like how the perspective that we watched it from. So like, I can't recommend that. I'm going to say Rear Window. I love Rear Window a lot. I like suspense.
I already wrote down Funny Games. Let me ask you about Funny Games real quick. Yeah. It's Naomi Watts.
Yes. Yes.
And Michael Pitt plays the guy that's fucking with her and her. Who's her husband? Is it like, say it's not Gary Oldman.
No, Tim Roth is in it.
Tim Roth.
Is it like a married couple in a cabin and someone's fucking with them or something?
Yeah, he shows up to their house and just kind of takes over.
Yeah, it's their nice house, and it's psychological but also physical, and it's... I agree that it's a fucked up movie. Rear Window, on the other hand, is that rare example, I think, of a movie where nothing, nothing, sorry, Kevin, but nothing gnarly happens, but it's still terribly suspenseful and just a great character study, because James Stewart is such a great actor, and Grace Kelly was, you know, unparalleled in, I mean, can you believe that her name is Grace? Like, she just should just be in the dictionary. The word should just have her picture next to it, because she just personified elegance. And in that movie, she's just like kind of a regular lady that comes around and kisses James Stewart on the forehead. The great Raymond Burr is the massive, scary mother effer who is in the window across the way. And that's a funny thing to me about Rear Window, is that there's been maybe a dozen movies that have just completely lifted the concept of one person witnessing a crime and then not being able to convince anybody. I mean, maybe even more than a dozen. And the thing is most of the times it works. Like, it's a really solid story structure that Rear Window sort of invented.
Yeah, they gave Shia LaBeouf one. They're like, you get one too. Go crazy.
Hey, I have a question. What is Sam Peckinpah? What was the first really scary, creepy, psychological couple in a house?
Oh, Straw Dogs.
Straw Dogs, right? Was that the first? Is that the first one you can think? That's the first one I can think of.
A couple being terrorized at home. Right. There might have been something before that, but it was definitely a groundbreaking, and that's another one I think they remade with Naomi Watts, I think.
Oh,
I'm just confusing everything.
I don't know,
but I think they did. But anyway,
I like her though.
She's so compelling, but she generally, she takes on movies that are, either very rough to watch or, have very sad. You know what I mean? Everything she's in is very violent or dramatic or both. The movie she's in with Ewan McGregor, The Impossible, we should, might as well bring that up as a horror movie, because it's about, this vacationing family who get caught up in a tsunami.
Oh.
And it is just so hard to watch. Oh. It is so realistically violent, what happens to these people when there's suddenly just a massive wave hits them on the beach. And it's called The Impossible because
it's about this family trying to find each other again after being, you know, horribly washed away. So,
was it based on that, on the Sri Lanka? Was it based probably, on a true story?
I'm sure it was. You know, you don't go making up a tsunami. Yeah, it's not too long ago. I mean, could have been, you know, more recent than. Yeah, I'm thinking 2000s, maybe like 2006, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something in like the that. Last couple of years. It was a little while ago. A
little while ago, but okay. You know, okay. Everything past 2000 feels recent to me, even though we're 23 years in. Well, thank you for those very, very different, three very different recommendations. So people can go all sorts of directions with their choices. I'm watching a horror movie a day for the month. So I am excited now about possibly including these titles. Because
what's been your favorite so far, Doug?
Yeah.
I really liked, and you know, I don't mention the names of the where things are streaming. I figure you can find it on your own. You know, I'm trying not to promote the streamers as much as I am just the work, the art, and a movie that's on one of the streamers right now and brand new to it, actually. So it's kind of getting a bum deal because it didn't really get the publicity it deserves to get. It's called Totally Killer.
Oh, yeah. I watched that the other night.
Really good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Loved the 80s vibe. It had a fun vibe to it. It was a cool flick.
I gotta write
much like they reference Back to the Future quite a bit in it, but at the same time, it's as tight a script and as entertaining. I mean, you know, obviously Back to the Future is a classic, but that can't be messed with. But it, as a riff on Back to the Future, to take it and then make it about a slasher, it's also kind of like a movie that Paul F. Tompkins recommended a few weeks ago before this Halloween shit started happening. He mentioned Time After Time, where it's a time travel movie where a guy goes back in time to stop Jack the Ripper. And this sort of has, you know, that feel as well, because it is someone trying to stop a serial killing from happening. And it's funny and violent and suspenseful. Kiernan Shipka from Mad Men is the lead. She's like a female Michael J. Fox. She's super appealing. And, yeah, that's if I were recommending a movie, I'd throw in that one. We got to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to play some games and find out where the true alliances and friendships are. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and I should mention that if you want to follow my exploits in watching 31 scary movies in 31 days, just either try the hashtag on X, hashtag 31 scary movies, or just go to the Doug Loves Movies account there, or my account on Instagram is called You Don't Know Doug, and I'm doing stuff over there about these movies as well. Let's play some games.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah.
This first game is a new one that I call Olivia Rodrigo to Hell. Here's how the game works. I'll say a title, and you have to guess if it's a movie, like a horror movie or just any movie, or an Olivia Rodrigo song, or both.
Ooh.
Yeah, this game totally hinges on the fact that none of my guests probably know any Olivia Rodrigo song titles. And most of them, to me, do in fact sound like horror movies, or could be horror movies. So Gabe is up first. I'll say the title. You tell me if it's Olivia, a movie, or both. And if you get it wrong, then it goes to Kevin. He has two options. And if he gets it wrong, Padgett will get that first point because she'll obviously have it narrowed down to one specific answer. Whenever somebody gets one right, the next person in line alphabetically by first name is up first in the next round.
Nice.
3 to 4 exciting rounds will be played. Any questions?
Who is Olivia Rodrigo?
Is that real?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
She's that
I bought it for a second there because there are people, like I have a joke in my act about BTS. Is that what they're called? Yeah, BTS, the Korean boy band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun. I asked the audience, you know, who's even heard of this Korean boy band, and most of them have not. And last time I checked, they are the most popular band on the planet. Like, that's how fractured everything has gotten, is that you could be the most popular thing on the planet and plenty of people are like, what's that? So it's a weird time we're living in. But Gabe, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Rodrigo, a movie, or both, The Grudge.
The Grudge is a movie.
That's your final answer?
That is my final answer.
We go to Kevin.
No.
Rodrigo song or both?
It's got to be both. It's 100% a movie, so it's got to be a song as well.
It has to be.
By my calculations, Doug, yes. Final answer. Figure off the chess piece.
Just so you understand how this game works, it could, in fact, not be an Olivia Rodrigo song. It doesn't have to be both. But in this particular case, yes, it is both.
Yeah, I'm hitting the wrong button.
There you go. There's the correct answer sound. Congratulations, Kevin. Yeah, The Grudge is actually the name of an Olivia Rodrigo song title. And a series of films. There's, I think, two grudges. I think somebody had multiple grudges against something based on Japanese horror films of, I assume, the same name.
Yeah, it's a grudge. So, Kevin, you're living in.
Have you seen The Grudges, Kevin?
Yes, I have. I've seen the Japanese and the American, but I don't think I've seen any sequels.
And did you like both?
I did. Yeah, I like the use of throughout.
The use of what?
Oh, I forgot. It's Zoom. It's probably cutting out the weird noise I was making. My bad.
No. It did it.
Yeah, okay. Cut out after a second. So at first it just sounded like you were saying and then didn't finish your thought.
It's like a Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
That's my thinking noise.
Oh, okay. All right, Padgett, you're up first in the second round.
Ready.
Olivia Rodrigo song, a movie, or both, Blobfish.
Oh. No record label would let you release a track called Blobfish. So it's got to be a movie. What?
Wow.
Gabe.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe She said both. She said movie. I guess I gotta say song.
That is correct.
Oh my god.
Olivia Rodrigo has a song called Blobfish.
I must have.
I think it's a cute song. I think it's a cute song about a blobfish, because even though they're ugly and blobby, it was in a whatever Disney show she was in.
Oh.
Oh yeah, she was in High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Yeah, she did that. That's a real name. She did that, but she also, this was like something, it's even, she even like sang it with somebody else, whatever this blobfish song is. Okay, so Gabe and Kevin are both on the board. Kevin gets to go first on this next one. You ever see a blobfish, Kevin?
I have. They're hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Right? Aren't they? They're so weird.
They're the greatest thing in the world.
There was a dude that used to, early on in Douglas movies, I don't know his current status on social media, but it was his name on Twitter was Blobfish, and he had a picture of a blobfish, and that always amused me. Okay.
Yeah, he kind of looked like a bummed out dad from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest, and blobfish is one word. It's all, the whole thing is weird. Okay. Here we go, Kevin.
Okay.
I'd say these are going to get harder, but I don't know if the easy or hard is a way to describe any of this. A motion picture, a song from Olivia, or both, Vampire.
All right. I mean, there's got to be a movie called Vampire. And if Olivia Rodrigo will do a song about blobfish, I imagine she did a song about vampires first. So I'll say both.
I can't believe how you reasoned that out and actually came up with the correct answer. It is Vampire. Yeah, she has a song called Vampire. It's one of her more popular ones, I think. And then there was a film in 2011 called Vampire. And Kevin did this quite handily and quite quickly. He won the game. He was first person to 2 points, and he did it.
Boom.
So congratulations, Kevin. And thanks to everybody for leaving me with enough Olivia songs. since it ended early, I'll be able to play this game again sometime and confuse a whole different group of panelists.
On behalf of all the panelists, I'd like to say, Kevin, Rodrigo, go to hell.
It's the perfect name for a game.
Yeah,
because you can just say it to the winner.
Yeah, I so can't wait to hear that blobfish song.
I wish we were the kind of show, like a radio show or something, where a technician could just look up the song and play it as we go to a break. But we can't afford a song called Blobfish that was on a Disney Channel show.
Yeah, sounds.
I mean, when they start making us pay for music, isn't it weird that podcasts like mine, if I just threw in snippets of songs, nobody would say shit about it? Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? It feels like, especially when there's ads in the show and stuff, that like somebody should complain. But I guess ASCAP and people that are taking care of the rights of musicians just haven't gone around to podcasts yet.
Mm.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, there's so little money in streaming. It's the music got shafted first, really.
Oh, yeah, music's really in a tough spot, but at least it was supposed to be music first and then sold to, then make all this money from being in movies and stuff. I hope that most people writing songs aren't sitting out there hoping, oh, I hope this song gets played incidentally in the background in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Oh, you do get paid for that.
That's what I'm saying. You do, but you can't write a song in hopes of that sort of thing happening.
True. Yeah. That's true.
but somehow Smash Mouth had a song that got into that and also a Shrek movie, just for existing, and they probably did make a pretty good penny off of that. Oh, yeah. All right. What?
I said that, well, they end the movie Rat Race. They just have a music video at the end of that movie. It's kind of unbelievable.
Right? Because you're like, first of all, I just sat through Rat Race. And now this?
You're like Whoopi Goldberg and Smash Mouth in the same film.
How did this happen?
How did two things
I didn't want get come together in one?
I just rewatched Kingpin somewhat recently, and I 100% forgot that that movie ends with a music video from Blues Traveler dressed as Amish people.
Oh my God.
What a treat.
Well, because, you know, Amish people love eating and playing the harmonica. Although that guy, John Popper, have you seen him? He lost like a lot of weight. He looks like Penn Jillette now.
Did he do the Ozempic, you think?
I don't know how he did it. All I know is this is the weirdest thing, little sidebar. You know, Billy Gardell from.
Yeah.
Now he's on Bob Hart's
Abishola.
Yeah, he's the star of that, and he's gotten smaller and smaller on that show, because when he started, I think he was still pretty heavy, and now, then he did Ozempic commercials, and then he's super skinny now, and the last time I saw him, I was like, wow, so, you know, I wanted to hear it from the man himself, like, holy shit, so Ozempic, I thought Ozempic, like, you gain the weight back right away. You know, if you don't really maintain it or whatever. And he goes, oh, I just lost the weight incidentally. Like, he didn't take Ozempic at all, he says. It's just a coincidence that he decided to lose that he finally lost a shit ton of weight while also being a spokesman for Ozempic.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Yeah. And, you know, he could have been lying to me, but
I don't know.
He's a pretty nice guy. So I figure it was legit. All right, we've got one more game to play that's going to determine it all. And Kevin gets to go first, and we'll do it right after this break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. Just a quick reminder, because you just had a lot of information that you were listening to, listeners. Kevin Kraft won the first game, so he gets to go first in this game. Another new one that I created.
Ooh.
It's called Chasing After Jamie Lee. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
JLC is the undisputed scream queen. You ask anybody who's the number one star of horror movies, that's a lady. And the answer is always going to be Jamie Lee Curtis. And this game is about all the other scream queens that are not Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Kevin's going to go first. Then we're going to go to Gabe. Then we're going to go to Paget. I would like you to guess the name of a scream queen that you think ranks in the top nine. We don't have a, you know, top number one because Jamie Lee Curtis takes that role. And this is according to The Chive, an expert on almost everything. If the Chive says it, it's the truth. I don't know. I'm just saying that just to make it seem like I got a really good source for this. In fact, that's another way to look at it. We could say, this is according to the Chive. They're crazy over there. So
the baked potato website.
So Kevin's going to guess first. And if he guesses any person that's in the top nine correctly, he gets the higher the person's rank, the more points you get. If you get the person who's number two after Jamie Lee Curtis, that's worth 9 points. All the way down to number 10 is worth just 1 point. So Kevin is going to guess first. He'll guess a name, and then I'll tell you how many points he gets, if any. Then we move to Gabe, and he guesses. Then we go to Paget, and she guesses. Then from there, you're each going to get two more guesses, but we're going to keep going in turn until all three of you have guessed three times, and hopefully we've knocked all nine names off of the list. Don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. Let me see if there's anything else that I need to say about this game. We think that's it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. And it really only matters that Kevin gets it because he's first.
It's an interesting wrinkle to pull it from a website, because now I got to try and put myself in the mindset of a blogger who I'm sure is going to love to get a deep cut, love to get some obvious stuff, and then throw something in that's going to piss people off.
Well, they like to say that it's, the editors or like a group of people got together and came up with this ranking. Okay. And the reason I give it any legitimacy at all is because they did put Jamie Lee Curtis in the number one slot. If she'd have been anywhere else, I would have been like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. These people don't know what they're doing, because it's just for her to start off in Halloween movie, first of all, to be a Nepo baby and then get cast as the lead in a horror movie just because John Carpenter liked her. It wasn't like he was buddies with her parents. But then for her career to stall immediately and John Carpenter to give her a part in The Fog, and it revitalized her, but it made her a horror movie person. So then the next several movies she did were horror films, and she was just sort of trapped in that. But then eventually she broke out of that. And then all these years later, now she's back at it again.
Yeah.
Having done like three more Halloween movies just in the last 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. So that being said, Kevin, you get the first shot at this. I've got nine actresses' names written here. Give me your thoughts on who would be on this list.
So I'm going to roll the dice here a little bit and burn my first guess on someone who might not be obvious unless you're a horror nerd, or more specifically an 80s horror movie nerd. And I'll just go with Barbara Crampton.
What?
Just saw her in Suitable Flesh, directed by friend of the show, Joe Lynch, who has made a few appearances this month. And I had to bench him because he knows so much about horror movies that these games, he just runs away with it. So I have him back on in November.
BLM timeout.
Yeah, gave him a little brief timeout because the winter, I always like to have him back as soon as possible, but between scheduling and also fairness,
this time of year you can't have him back.
I can't, because nobody wants to listen to somebody just run away with this thing. And maybe some people would put their money on Kevin Kraft, but so far he's got 0 points. Because Miss Barbara Crampton did not make the list. She deserves to be there, though, Reanimator alone.
I have to speak to the manager of Chive. This is bullshit. A list of scream queens without Barbara Crampton is so fucking insulting.
Right. Well, wait till you hear. You can tell me after which one of these ladies you think doesn't deserve to be in this vaulted position.
Now.
I got one or two that I would definitely replace with Barbara Crampton, but let's go to Gabe and see if he can get some points on the board.
When I hear Scream Queen, it makes me think of literally the movie Scream, and so I'm going to say Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, first Scream movie thing that they've not only redone, like repeated in other Scream movies where you have like a famous person be the first kill. It's also a fun reference in the movie Kevin and I were talking about, Totally Killer, refers to the fact that Drew Barrymore was such a bait and switch in that movie. But guess what?
Not good enough for the chive.
Did not make the list. Probably because, you know, once she got killed in Scream, she got out of the game. She's in Cat's Eye and Firestarter, but those were when she was a kid.
Yeah.
So I feel like she sort of dipped from the horror genre after Scream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which also made it so special that she was even in it.
Yeah, yeah, she's on strike from horror movies, which is good.
Let's not bring up the Drew Barrymore and the strike. That was ugly. There's a lot of ugly crying from her during that process. And also Oliver Reiter's decided not to come back.
Once they
got the thumbs up. Yeah, because that is so weird. The weirdest one for me, and I know it's not Drew specifically, but like some of their audience members one day got pins from the from the picketers outside that said, you know, something about or Writers Guild solidarity or something. And the people that work at the show, the staff had to go around and take them away from people.
Yeah.
Just because they're in the audience with a pin.
To sit in the audience.
Union. Yeah,
they wouldn't let them. Yeah, that was a wild story. I saw that.
That's so crazy. Okay, so Gabe, you'll have two more chances coming up, but we got to go over to Padgett. Taking her first shot at it. Who do you think should be in the top 10 Scream Queens?
I'm going to go with Tippi Hedren.
Now that is a great incorrect answer.
No, come on. Give me a break.
I know. What? She was in arguably two or three horror movies.
Come on, screaming her nuts off.
Yeah, she did do a lot of screaming, and she also was in a Hitchcock movie that wasn't even a horror movie, so that was probably a nightmare to film. But she didn't make the list.
Wow.
So now, since we've had three goose eggs, let me give you one hint going into the next round.
No. I'm gonna win on my next name. No hints.
Okay. No. All right. I think you'd really appreciate this hint, but I also like your competitive
nature. All right. No, go ahead. What's the hint?
I should have said this in the beginning, but I just felt like it was unnecessarily confusing things. But I believe they call it modern Scream Queen.
Hey, that's not fair.
And when does modern even start?
When does that start? So I can't say Janet Leigh either. From Psycho.
Well, you could, but I
is that modern?
Something that should help you. Because also she didn't, Janet Leigh didn't make a habit of being in horror movies. She's just in the most famous one ever.
Yeah, she did, but her Scream's so good.
Right? She was a queen of that one.
It's really the
Scream.
The quality of the Scream that I'm, okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. Okay, so modern cinema.
I think they used her Scream in other movies. You know, ooh. I think they loop it in or whatever. I know that there's been some Screams over the years that have not been the real person, just like how in musicals, but even sometimes in dialogue, they've replaced actresses with, like, Andy McDowell doesn't do her own speaking in the Tarzan movie Greystoke. It's it's Glenn Close.
Whoa.
Because they didn't like her accent, her Southern accent.
Yeah. And, but, you know, that was early in her acting career, so she probably really couldn't hide it. But, she's turned out to be a tremendous actress. And her daughter, Margaret Qualley, is like, she's qualified to be a Scream Queen because she's been in a few now. Okay.
Qualified.
All right. Now that we've established that it's modern, which I don't even, if I had to say, I'd say like probably modern means 1980 to now.
Okay.
So that's a new clue for everybody. That'll hopefully help. Kevin, what have you got?
Qualified Barbara Crampton. Just saying. Fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Cramps should be in there.
All right, if we're going modern. I apologize for piggybacking off of you, Gabe. You might have to tell me to Olivia Rodrigo go to hell again, but I don't think it gets more modern than Nev Campbell if we're talking Scream Queens and Scream.
Nice.
Yeah. I really thought that's where Gabe was headed. I thought, holy shit, Gabe has really figured this out. And then he said Drew Barrymore. Nev Campbell is correct.
Yeah.
Nice.
And number two on the list after Jamie Lee Curtis for her six or seven Scream movies that she was in. And so that's worth 9 points for Kevin.
Oh!
Right.
Feels insurmountable, but it's not.
That is a high number, yeah.
Yeah, he did really crack a big one, but we got 8 more names, all worth points. What do you think, Gabe?
So a big one when I was a kid was I Know What You Did Last Summer, and then I think she did another Scream movie, which is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Number 3 on the list.
Oh, damn it.
Ooh.
Nice pull, Gabe. Excellent work. And you cited it exactly. She was in I Knew What You Did Last Summer. She was in Scream 2. And she was in Grudge 1 and 2.
Oh, a callback to The Grudge.
Yeah. The Grudge needs more mentions. Because also, I think like PG-13 or something. Like that's The Ring and The Grudge were both like, oh, I get it. Like creepy things happen. But, you know, you got to have something really violent in there to, you know, to get me, you know, to be scared. Usually there's exceptions. I think that, Sam Raimi, the aforementioned Sam Raimi, his Drag Me to Hell is probably one of the best PG-13 horror movies ever made. Cause it's scary, but it's just gross. There's no like bloodshed, you know, it's just constant secreting and vomiting and it's like every disgusting thing you could put in a movie and still not get an R rating.
Yeah. It is probably the grossest PG-13 movie ever.
It's gotta be.
It is great though.
Padgett, you got a lot to, work with.
I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm completely stuck. All I can think is Adrienne Barbeau.
You
hair in black.
You haven't been
Linda Blair. I can't think of anything past 1980. I can't win this game.
Well, maybe some of the other guesses might help you figure something out.
They did it. Nev Campbell, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Courtney Cox. No. She was just an anchor for news.
Three names. You have to pick one.
I have to pick one of all of those wrong answers?
I didn't say any of them are right or wrong. You just keep going. You're like the Energizer Bunny of trivia.
Courtney Cox?
That's your answer?
Yeah.
Yes, she is on.
I got one. Oh, okay.
Nice.
She's number 10, so it's only worth 1 point.
I'm on the board.
It's the friends we made along the way. This is great.
Yeah, that's the important thing. You're right. This is about. Okay. So, Edge is on the board.
Okay.
That's fighting development. Everybody's got points, but Kevin, this is crucial. If you can get another one, these 7 actresses
who are
hated Scream Queens by the Chive, the place we go for all things Scream Queen.
And this is my last guess, right, Doug?
This is it. Yeah. So got to put some more points on the board to stave off Gabe, but maybe it won't happen for Gabe because he's still trailing you by 1 point.
Oh, I'm so torn. There's so many different ways it can go, but was this just recently published? Is this new?
You know, if I dove into it that much, it would take the fun out of it for me.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Just some dumbass website that may have published this years ago, and yet somehow they didn't think of Janet Lee.
Yeah. Janet like, Lee! Linda Blair! I'll be quiet. So mad.
I mean, I will say that all these actresses have the numbers on their side. They've all been at least two or three horror movies, a lot of times a series of movies, and then some of them have horror TV credits.
God.
But none of them are horror TV exclusively, because this is Doug Loves Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I got a lot locked and loaded. It's very
shit, Kevin.
To select one. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn.
So jealous. Go.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to trust my gut.
Okay.
Hoping that this article was written in the last couple years. Because if they want clicks, they would probably include Jenna Ortega. Was in a Scream movie. She's been in, I think, X, the Ty West movie.
Not the story of the destruction of Twitter.
And then Wednesday. Wednesday's awesome. Very popular.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess my whole heart isn't in it, but I'm taking a gamble here. I think they're going to go with Jenna Ortega.
I'm sorry. She did make it. I mean, she really did. She really is getting in there with Scream and X and Wednesday. And now she's going to be in Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah.
So if they don't freaking put her on there, if the Chive ever gets reconvenes on this, they should definitely give her a spot.
Yeah, that's what I get for playing for points and not playing with my heart.
Well, you can tell us at the end, you know, once we get to determine who the winner is, we'll see what other names you think might be on here. Because we're not going to hit all of them, that's for sure. Gabe?
Okay. I didn't think I was going to watch this movie, and then I found out that like my friend Peter Gross was in it, so I was like, well, now I have to watch it. And so I watched The Menu, and I really liked it. And so I don't know how recent this article is, but I'm gonna say Anya Taylor-Joy.
No.
I got to say that it brings me great Anya Taylor joy. That is correct.
No.
Wow.
That's right.
She doesn't scream once in that movie.
She's very understated.
In which one?
In The Menu.
Oh, right. It's funny. I don't even think of The Menu as a horror movie, even though it has horror elements.
Yeah.
You know,
I
get
it.
Intense, like it's got the same intensity as a lot of chef movies and TV shows. Just that intense kitchen energy. But not only was she in The Menu, she was in Last Night in Soho, did plenty of screaming in that, I think. She was in
Witch.
Screamed a bit there. And she was a hostage in Glass. The sequel to Unbreakable.
I don't know what Glass is. What's Glass?
Strong. It's what's his name? It's Samuel Jackson's story. It's his like story from Unbreakable. But then there's also also called Split, where what's his name? The guy from the X-Men movies. He played a guy with multiple personalities. It's actually a really good performance. He's really good at it. But anyway, she comes in eighth place. That's worth 3 points. Gabe, I got to give Padgett one more shot, but I also can just tell you quietly that
I can't win. I know. You are. You won.
He won. But
he won.
Give us one more. Padgett. Show us what you got.
Karen Black. From Trilogy of Terror.
Right. Classic TV movie. And
Counts.
I think she was in Black Christmas, but she wasn't the title character.
No.
She was in one of those, not Black Christmas, but something like that around the same time, like in the 70s. She was indeed a scream queen, but she did not make
the list.
She did not make the Chives list.
Can you tell us who else is on the list, though? I need to know.
Wouldn't it be fun to just drop it and not say?
Can I make a guess that I would have made if I went with...
keep guessing.
I figure if I didn't guess Jenna Ortega, I was going to go with Jennifer Love Hewitt because she was the star of the I Know You Did What You Did Last Summer movies. So yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar made the cut. I figure she had to have.
Yeah, that's a good theory. But, you know, for whatever reason, she didn't make the cut.
Wow.
What is life?
She didn't scream enough. You know, she didn't. She was in both of the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies because she survived the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was in two of those. But beyond that, she wasn't really much of a. She was mostly just in comedies and that weird Jackie Chan movie, The Tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
You know what was great about it? Jennifer Love Hewitt was in it. Okay. So let's go from the bottom of the list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And educate everybody. And the listeners are probably beside themselves with having some of these answers right at their tongue tips.
I bet they do.
Number 9, speaking of weird tongue action, from the Nightmare on Elm Street films, Heather Langenkamp.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that's why I went with 80 on, because I think she's the one that would represent like the oldest.
Right. The furthest back.
Queen. Yeah. And she's like appeared in like 3 of the Elm Street movies. So 10 was Courtney Cox, 9 Heather Langenkamp, 8 Anya Taylor-Joy. And then number 7, this is a real, she's a real recent up and comer in the horror game. And I think she made the list because she's in several seasons of that TV show, American Horror Story. It's Thaisa Farmiga.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, she was also
The Conjuring. Isn't she in all the Conjuring movies?
No, she's the daughter of the lady from The Conjuring.
Oh, right. No, the sister?
They're actually sisters.
Sister, oh, yeah.
Right, but much
like
a big gap.
Year age gap.
There's 42 years between them.
Cruel.
So I keep falling for that trap of thinking that she's her daughter. And she was also in a movie called The Finals Girls.
But she's in The Nun.
Yeah.
She's in The Nun.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
That's right. Oh, there's more than one nun?
Well, whatever it is, there was not enough nun. I just saw it, and I wouldn't recommend it. I wanted more nun for my money.
Okay.
But she was very good.
She's a great actor. Yeah, I like her a lot. She, you know, and she was, is she in Bates Motel with her mother?
Her mother, stop it. I don't remember the TV show.
I probably plays her mother in Bates Motel.
Cut it out. Who knows? Look, we'll find out. There'll be a deathbed confession at some point.
Speaking of what you call it, American Horror Story, number 6 is a lady that's been in every goddamn season of that show, it feels like. Plus, she's in Bird Box and Glass. Her name is Sarah Paulson.
Mm.
Or 6 on the.
Oh, that's so. I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe Lynch would have known all of these. Then number 5 from multiple Halloweens and at least 2 Hatchets movies called
Daniel
Hatchet.
Harris.
That's right. Daniel Harris. Look at the
he
big
was on my list.
Kevin now. And number 4. Brings me such joy to tell you that it's Vera Farmiga.
for her, I'm an up in the air.
in the Conjuring's film. Conjuring.
Oh.
Yeah.
On all Formiga guesses. That would have been killer.
If anybody had farmed for some Formiga, they would have reaped some points. But congratulations, Gabe. I would argue that I would say that going into this, you probably thought you didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Being more of a fan of musicals than horror. And yet here we are. So congratulations. You get to do your plugs first. What show is called?
It's called Solo, a show about friendship. It's running off Broadway. We've already done 53 performances. We're doing another 14. We still haven't quite hit our stride yet. I know that sounds weird, but we're close. So come buy tickets. And if you DM me, I'll send you a promo code.
Ooh, I like a good promo code. And also, I just want to clear up for everybody that it's called Solo because it's about a man by himself with no friends. It's not about, it's not the origin story of Han Solo.
No, but we do sell merch with a parody of that.
Oh, and, perfect.
With the idea that hopefully Disney will sue us and then we'll get great press.
I love it. I love it. All I do is talk shit about Disney hoping they'll sue me. Well, congratulations, Gabe. We'll have you back on the show as soon as we can work it out. You're on the East Coast and I'm out West, but we can certainly have you back on a Zoom show or the next time that I'm on your side of the country.
Oh, thanks, Doug. I appreciate that.
No problem. Paget Brewster, not much to plug right now. Eh?
I'm not allowed.
You're just
I'm talking. Not allowed. Not allowed. Nothing. I'm not allowed to plug anything, which sucks because a lot of cool stuff. But what are you going to do? It's all right. It's all right. It's a cause I believe in.
And people could just Google your name and see the great things that you were up to before the business came to a halt.
I feel like I just saw this on a reality show. Someone saying, Google me, bitch. I think I did.
Bachelor in Paradise, maybe?
No, I think it was House of Villains.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
It's we'll see. We'll see. Only one episode is aired.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. But I Joel McHale, I love, and I think he's very funny, and I like villains. It's interesting. I like it.
Yeah, you got some really good ones on there.
I think it's going to be good. Yeah, I think it's going to be really good.
That girl, that lady in New York, is really funny.
Yes, Tiffany.
Tiffany, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany Pollard?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, that's my guess. I'll give myself a point.
Good job.
But thank you for being here, Paget.
Thank you.
And Kevin Kraft, it's too early to promote it, but it's called The Second Coming of John Cooper.
That's
and
correct.
It will be out someday. We'll have you back on the show to promote it when it does come out.
Yep.
Anything else? Any other shout outs you want to give?
In the meantime, you can follow at John Cooper Movie on Instagram and see updates and posts. And that'll, you know, also give you a pretty big clue of when it's ready to release and where it's going to end up. But yeah, Doug's in it. Doug has a cameo of himself. DLM regular Dustin Ibarra is in it, who, by the way, I just went and saw him tape his first special last night. It was fucking incredible. So shout out to Dustin. And I guess follow me on Instagram and Threads at Kevin Kraft, and follow me on Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. People are always trying to talk me into doing that, but I would become obsessed, I think, if I participated.
Oh yeah, I am obsessed. It is my most used app. I'm obsessed with it. It is a very slippery slope, Doug.
Yeah. Doug Loves Movies is going to be at tomorrow night. If you're listening to this on Monday, tomorrow night we have our first episode at our new monthly home on the third Tuesday of every month. We're at 7:30 at the Improv Lab at the Hollywood Improv Comedy Club. It's a nice, intimate venue. So I'm hoping, people will come out and fill it up. And then Saturday, October 25th at 4:20, Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington.
And Doug Loves Movies is also coming to Austin, Texas at Cap City
Comedy
Club. Yeah, we're going all over the place with it. Cleveland.
Awesome.
A few other places. San Antonio. All of it is at DougLovesMovies.com. So look it up and see if I'm coming to the city near you. Thank you once again to my guests, Padgett Brewster, Kevin Kraft, and Gabe Mollica. And as always, come on, eat.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room